We're very thankful this afternoon for everyone that's on the call. We appreciate you so very much. If you're on the call and you're visiting with us, not a member of the Church of Christ, we want to welcome you to our services this afternoon. We want to thank all the brothers who've served before me. Appreciate your commitment to the cause as we work through this situation we have with our building. We'll get back there. Be good to work around the table, things of that nature. Thank you so very much for your patience. We appreciate you serving in this way with us. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know that we believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. For you to be saved, one must believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary. And on that cross, he shed his blood that'll wash your sins away if you're baptized. And when you're baptized according to the one baptism, the Lord would add you to the one church, which is also purchased by his blood, Acts 20:28. And that same blood purchases church, and that church is referred to as the Church of Christ. According to the Bible, all that say they're in the Church of Christ. So if you're visiting and not a member of the Church of Christ, you must obey that truth in order to be saved. And then those visiting with us from other congregations, we welcome you and our brothers and sisters to our program this afternoon, or rather our services this afternoon. Hebrews chapter 12, continuing our study of the book of Hebrews. Hope you enjoyed that study. We're going to pick up in verse number 14. We talked about this verse a little bit this morning, we're going to pick up there because I want to add something to that. In verse number 14, the Hebrew writer says, follow peace with all men, holiness, peace and holiness, which without which no man shall see the Lord. See, we got to live to Christians there. We have to live peaceful lives. We talked about that more this morning. A life that's one of holiness and sinless, not necessarily one that's perfect. That's not what we're talking about. One that a life that's going to be well-pleasing to the Lord, and that you're living and you're walking in the light as he's in the light. You follow the light, which is the word of God. But the last part, he says, no man shall see the Lord. This is right in line with what we've been studying on Wednesday night. This past week we started on Wednesday nights. And Brother Stroud did a wonderful job on the pure at heart. And Jesus said his very thing, blessed, Matthew 5:8, said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the Lord. So you can see the opposite of the one who can follow peace with all men and holiness is obviously one of those people who Jesus is speaking of that are pure in heart. They're able to focus themselves on living in a way that God would be pleased. Are you one that's pure in heart? Are you one that can follow peace with all men and holiness? Well, you need to be, because the Hebrew writer says, without which no man shall see the Lord. In verse 15, he said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now this is coming out right after the chastisement discussion that we talked about this morning. But now he says, as Christians, we should be diligent not to let bitterness with others or trouble defile you so that you fail or miss the grace of God. How can you fail or miss the grace of God? Being careful, looking diligently, making sure that you're paying attention, being watchful and diligent to not get caught up in things that's going to cause you to miss your final reward, your reward of heaven. Don't let it be any root of bitterness, a bitter opposition, things that can be disturbing in relationships and friendships and things of that nature. He said, don't let bitterness be what it is. You've got to be diligent, the Hebrew writer is talking about here. And he said, for us to understand what he's trying to get, he said, don't fail the grace of God. So you can't get caught up in these things and blame others for your fall. God expects us to remain holy and at peace with all men, and not let nothing distract us to the point that we won't be able to see the Lord. our judgment on the Day of Judgment will be based on our living and our actions, not on what others did to us, but what we've done in our own lives. So remember him that speaketh is God. And that's the title of this lesson, him that speaketh from heaven is God. And these words from the Bible are the words of God. So I said, Brother Brooks, that was a good sermon. Well, remember, I'm bringing you the word of God. So I'm not trying to take the credit for if what I'm teaching you help you, the application that I apply, that applies to you. But it's the word of God that's going to make the difference in your life when you repent and you obey it, as we will see shortly. He said, now he move on and he says, lest there be any fornicator, or a person, a profane person as Esau. So he said, now here's an example of what I'm talking about, a fornicator, a profane person like Esau, who it's inferred that Esau was obviously a fornicator, a profane person. But he says specifically what he did was, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. This profane person, a worldly person who profanes holy privileges, by placing on them this view of worldly, it's important to them. Put these priorities above God. They live in a sinful life that's immoral. And this person is compared to Esau. In Genesis chapter 25, if you turn your Bibles there, Genesis chapter 25, just briefly, I won't be a new whole story, but briefly here, we can see that Esau made a great mistake. Esau had a sinful life. Obviously, he was a profane person, because Hebrew writers getting us to compare him. So what did Esau do? Genesis 25:27. Let's go there and read that briefly. The Bible says here. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat up the venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, but weak, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me. And basically, Esau is hungry. It's something that's more important than what he's getting ready to do. He said, I pray thee, the same red pottage, for I faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day that birthright. So he wants something for something. Esau said, well, behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do me? And Jacob said, swear to me to this day. And he swore to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage and lentils. And he did eat and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So he sold his birthright. He sold his birthright for a meal. For one morsel of meat. For a single meal that he craved and he desired at the time. He gave up his future reward. So the application is this. What is it in our lives that's so good to us, that we so desire, that we'll give up, we'll get it and give up our future reward? We'll give up our heavenly birthright. Well, it's going to come back to one thing for sure. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. That profane person, the person who lives a worldly life. Fornicator is indicator of such a sinner, one who enjoys sinning. So, in your life, think about what is it that's so good to you, something that's so enjoyable, so desire, that you're giving up, you're selling your birthright. And the Hebrew writer is warning these Hebrew Christians that they don't be like Esau, that sold his birthright. So sometimes it comes down to bitterness, not liking people, or being hateful or hating others. It's a lot of immoral things that could be happening when you look at this life and what's going on in your life when things are causing you to put other things before God and to sacrifice or give up your heavenly birthright for these things. And bitterness can be one of those. There's many a list of sins that could cause us to give up our birthright. And so the Hebrew writer is making sure that he's encouraging these Hebrew Christians not to do that. And that's something we should be encouraged to. So some people leave the Lord because they're bitter. They leave the church because they're bitter. Or they don't continue to live this holy life and in peace with all men. All this go together. And so when you look at what the Hebrew writer is doing here, he made that comparison to Esau as a general application, general comparison. But when we start looking at our lives, we got to look at those things. If you can't give up in your heart of heart, you're just so bitter at someone, you've sold your birthright because you can't get to heaven. You can't be at peace with all men. You'll never see the Lord. And that's the concern that the Hebrew writer had. He was talking to them about that. Don't be like that. Don't let this thing happen to you that happened to Esau. And he said that lest there be any fornicator. And another version says it like that. Watch out for immoral, ungodly people like Esau, who sold his future bread, a blessing for only one meal. So he's saying immortality, immorality, such as fornication, anything ungodly people, profane would be ungodly people that will put their soul on the line to get that one meal or to get that one satisfaction that they want. To be satisfied that I never have to speak to you again, or be satisfied in my state of mind about another person who I can't love. You don't want to get like that. In verse number 17, but you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessings, he was rejected. Notice that afterwards, talking about Esau still, he would have inherited the blessing. He was rejected. And he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. See that? And he said, well, turn over there back to Genesis now. Look at that part of Genesis. The Bible says over here in Genesis chapter 27 now. Genesis chapter 27. Look at that. And we'll start in verse number 34. Verse 34. Look at what happens here. So afterwards, this later on in his life. And later on for us will be, there'll be a day when we'll stand before God. But later on in his life, in verse 34, Genesis chapter 27, the Bible says, Esau cried loudly. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great, exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me. Bless me. See that? He's speaking to his father. He cried with great, exceeding bitter cry. So he's in a state of mourning right now. And said unto his father, bless me, even also my father. And he said, that brother came with subtlety and had taken away that blessing. And he said, is not He rightly named Jacob, for he had supplanted me these two things, two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he had taken away my blessing. And he said, has I not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord. And all his brethren I have given him for servants. Corn and wine have sustained him. And what shall I do now to thee, my son? And Esau said to his father, has thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered, said to him, behold, I dwell, it shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of the heaven from above. And by thy sword shall I live, and shall serve thy brother. It shall come to pass when I have dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau, notice this, hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the day of mourning of my father at hand, then I will slay my brother Jacob. Because it leads him. He didn't get what he wanted. He was crying. That's why the Hebrew writer back in Hebrews 12 and verse 17, so you know that how that afterwards then he would have inherited blessed. He was rejected. He found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So what is the lesson for us? Well, he realized later on that he wanted the birthright he needed. He wanted it back. But it was too late. Even though he repented with tears, even though he wept, we see here that sometimes you got to live with the consequences of your decision. Doesn't mean you won't be forgiven, but you're giving up your birthright right now until you repent. Whatever it is you're putting before God, you're giving up your birthright, your heavenly birthright. And so you got to think about, there's going to be a day, though, when you'll face God, and there will be no repentance. No time to repent. Too late to repent at judgment. Because then you have lost your heavenly birthright. So the Hebrew writer is encouraging Hebrew Christians to live holy and at peace. And don't let immoral living or anything become so desirable in your life that you give it all up. And in the end, the consequence is you lose your soul or you lose your heavenly reward. Be careful about hasty decisions. Knowing you have to, like he did, like, I just want something to eat. Go ahead and give it to me now. I don't need that birthday right now. Be careful about that. Think about it before you do it. Think about it before you engage in some things that cause you to lose your soul. Back to Hebrew. Chapter 12, verse 18. For you not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burn with fire, nor to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice that they heard entreat that the words should not be spoken to them any more, but they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned, thrust through all through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Now, the Hebrew writer is telling the Hebrew Christians, they understand what he's talking about. This is when he was at the Mount Sinai. He reminds those Hebrew Christians, as I must remind us, that we will go through things as Christians, but we have not come to Mount Sinai like those Jews, the children of Israel. No, we haven't faced God yet. For them, it was a fearful experience. We're going to read it here in a minute. We haven't seen a mountain that you could touch, but we're burn with fire and blackness and darkness and tempest. For them, they saw it. It was fearful. We haven't heard the trumpet blow. They heard the trumpet blow that day. It was fearful. We haven't heard the voice of God speak to Moses like they did. And even for Moses, it was fearful to hear God speak to him. In Exodus chapter 19 is where this account is found. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 12. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 12. This is the giving of the Ten Commandments before it all happened from the Mount Sinai. Here's what God said. Thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that you go not up in the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned, or shot through, whether it be a beast of a man, be an animal or man, it shall not live. And when the trumpet sound, lo, they shall come up to the mountain. And Moses went down from the mountain to the people, sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. He said unto the people, be ready, against the third day, come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood in neither part of the mountain. Mount Sinai were all together on the smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in a fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. The whole mountain quaked. What is that? Greatly shaken, were quaking. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice. Yeah, we may be struggling in this life. Some of you may be ready to give up, but none of us have faced God yet. He reminded me, because we haven't seen what the Israelites do. What are you going to do today when you have to face God? That's what he's trying to get them to see. It's a fearful thing. Those people were trembling. They were afraid just at the fact the presence of God was in their mouth. And all the things that were going on, we must understand that we don't want to give up our birthright, because there's one that's going to speak. The one that's going to speak from heaven. One that is a voice that we must hear. One day we must give an account. Every knee will bow, every mouth will confess. Every one of us will give an account to God of our lives. And so, yes, we may be struggling. Yes, we may be going through things that we talked about. And yes, as the Hebrew writer points out to these Christians, we must be pointed out thus, but none of us have stood there that day at that mountain. But then in verse, his message to the Christian was in verse 22. He said, y'all know about that, right? Now in verse 22, he said, but you, that's talking to me and you now, but ye were the Christians at that time. They were not Christians back when this all happened in Mount Sinai. But ye, that's us, are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to a numerous company of angels. In other words, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. Christ is the firstborn. Just the church of Christ you talk to. Which are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator, here it is, of the new covenant. See, he was bringing down that old Ten Commandment covenant back then when all that happened at the mountain. But Jesus brought a new covenant, a new testament, and to the blood of sprinkling, that he speaketh better things than that of Abel. Here's the message to us, that we don't leave God when we're struggling. Why? Because we've come to Mount Zion. We have come to the city of the living God. We have come to the heavenly Jerusalem with hope of no more tears, you all, no more crying and dying and sorrow. We at a point that God has told us here, wipe away all our tears. We have come among many angels, the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, where our name is written in heaven, come to God, the judge of all, the spirits of just men made perfect. He said, you've come to the spirit of just men made perfect. You've come to Jesus when you obeyed to God. You came to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. You've come to the blood of sprinkling. And a whole lot of blood of animals was literally sprinkled for us. We talk about obedience to God. But that's speaking better things than that of Abel's blood cried out for vengeance. But Christ's blood pleads for mercy. The Hebrew writer said, verse 25, seeing that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him to speak it on earth, speak on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. There it is right there. What he's saying is, we better listen to God and his word during the time we're living. We've come to this heavenly Jerusalem with hope. We're in the church of the firstborn. We're going to deal with God the judge. We are experiencing the benefit and blessing of being a New Testament Christian. But he said, now, the way you make sure you don't lose your soul, here's the answer. Refuse not him to speak. The one that he's talking about is him that speaketh from heaven. No one will escape. He said, but if they escape not, who refuse him that spake on earth, back in the Old Testament, we just read, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. So we are not to refuse the chastisement and everything that comes with God's word. That's what this old summary here is, that whatever God is doing for us, whatever we're going through, whatever God says that's going to happen in our lives, we have to accept the will of God. Nothing should be so bad, or nothing should be so pleasurable, profane, something so good, or nothing so bad as the chastisement we read about this morning. Nothing so good as what Esau done. He was implied to be a fornicating, profane person. That would cause us to not listen, to refuse to not hear him that speaketh. When a person refuses to obey or hear God's word, that person can never see God's face in peace. That person can never be saved. So what he's saying, it shouldn't be done so bad in our lives. There was a chastisement this morning we talked about. It shouldn't be something so pleasurable in sin, it's going to cause us to give up heaven. And the only answer is that we respond to the word of God. Somebody texted me this morning and said the lesson was good and how it affected them. I said, it was God. It was the word of God that affects us if we receive it. That's why James said, the word of God must be received with meekness. Wherefore, they'll pour all filthiness, he says, superfluity of knowledge, and receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. That's the goal, is to have our soul saved. And so we have to receive the word from him that speaketh from heaven in order to make heaven our home. Now look at verse number 26. Whose voice then, talking about back then, back at the mountain, we just read about, shook the earth. But now, that's for now, for Christians, for us, for the Hebrew Christians. He had promised, saying, yeah, once more, I shook it back there at Mount Sinai, I'm going to shake it again. I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. He said, I'm going to do, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. He was shaking up back there at Mount Sinai. Now he's saying, hey, we've come to the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. He's helping to shake up something again. He said, now once more, I'm going to do it one more time. So the first covenant was the Ten Commandments. And he's going to shake again. It's found in Matthew chapter 27. This once more happened at Jesus' death. The death of his dear son, the firstborn, the church of the firstborn. He shook up things on heaven, on earth, and in heaven. In Matthew 27, verse 51. The Bible says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake. Here come the shaking. The earth is quaking. Rocks went rent. Graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose, came out of the grave after his resurrection, went into the city, and appeared unto many. They were shaking on Mount Sinai. Now when Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is shaken again, and when the centurion, verse 54, and when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, those things that were done, they feared greatly, said, truly, this was the Son of God. That was the next time, the next covenant was being brought into existence. That was the covenant, the blood covenant, the Jesus brought in the New Testament, the New Covenant, that better promise. But God shook up things that day too. Just like when he gave the Ten Commandments, he did some shaking there in Mount Sinai and in Jerusalem. Things were shaking there. A whole lot of shaking. A whole lot of shaking was going on. And those soldiers understood what it was. When they saw the earthquake, and they felt the shaking of the earthquake. You know, earthquake shakes the earth. The Bible says, they said truly, this word, the Son of God. That's why the Hebrew writer said, this word, yet once more, signified the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. Those things which cannot be shaken, they remain. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom that cannot be removed. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Anybody on the call, all shook up, might give up. God has already done the shaking, that you don't have to be shook up. God has given us the church, the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which is the kingdom that cannot be moved. And here is the message. Rather than be shook up to the point of giving up, we ought to be serving God with reverence and fear. And here's why. Verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. Yes, God is merciful. Yes, God is gracious. Yes, God is loving. But God also is a consuming fire and will punish those who hear not the voice from heaven, who hear not the speaking, the one that speaketh from heaven, who refuse to do it God's way, who refuse to let the love of God through his children chastise me, that we talked about earlier. This whole context is that you may be going through things. The whole context here is about those of us who are going through things that will cause us to leave the Lord and give up our heavenly blessing. Or choose, like Esau, the pleasures of sin, or something that's so desirable that we'll give up our reward. What are we seeing here? The seeing is that we are, he's telling these Hebrew Christians, that's what happened back under the Old Testament at Mount Sinai. Here's what can happen to you. And here it is. God is a consuming fire. And we don't want to face God unless we've been obedient to his will. Jesus said in John 12:48, he that rejected me and receiveth not my word had one that judges him. The words that I spoke, the same will judge him in the last day. Brothers, sisters, and friends, as I close, if you're on the call today, it's best that you hear the one that speaketh from heaven. for you to be saved, you must hear the word of God, Romans 10 and verse number 17. Acts 15, 7, specifically for the word of God, but hear the word of the gospel. Knowing that Jesus hung, bled, and died, the one that speak it gave the command that we obey him. Jesus came to this world, and God so loved him, one that speak forever, that he gave his only begotten son, John 3, 16. His son then gave his life after suffering, brutally being beaten, hung between two thieves, nails in his hands and his feet. And he hung there to save our soul. And it was him who said, after he resurrected from the grave, he got up and said, go teach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. Matthew 20:18 said, go teach all nations, baptizing them. The command is to be baptized for the remission of your sin. That's the one that's speaking from heaven, talking. You must be baptized because that's the word of God teaching us that. Believe that with all your heart. Be willing to repent because, like Esau, it's too late to repent at judgment. It's too late. You have to deal with whatever comes with it, or disobedience to God. Number four, be willing to confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Then after that, you must be baptized for the remission of your sins. That confession is your belief that Jesus is the Son of God before me in Matthew 10:32. And after that, be baptized, and scripture references I've given you. And then the Lord, in Acts 2:47, will add you to the church, the only church in the Bible, the church of the firstborn, the church of Jesus Christ, who is that firstborn. You need to be in the church that you can face God in peace. And then those of us who are members of the Lord's church, no matter what you're going in, the whole two lessons this morning was this. You put them all together. Yes, you can be going through some things. Yes, you can be having a difficult time in this life. But we all going to suffer. You can suffer as an evildoer, or you can suffer as a Christian. And know that in the end, you'll be able to hear God say, well done, that good and faithful servant. Maybe you're on the call and you're going through some things. But you've been listening to the Lord, and you've been trying to get your life together. Why not respond to him today? Respond to him this evening as we sing the song of encouragement. Come to the Lord. Hear him and speak it to you from heaven. Jesus is calling. Come unto me. All you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Learn of me. For meek and lowly in heart, you shall find rest for your soul. That's him that speak it from heaven. Will you have an ear to hear this evening? And if you're a member of the Lord's church, and perhaps you need to pray. We need to pray for you and pray with you. Pray for your family. Remember this. We may need to pray for you. Or you need to say, God, thank you. It's okay to say thank you in prayer as well. But you may need to pray for someone else. You may need to ask for prayer. You need to confess your fault. Whatever you need to do, remember that at the end of the day, what we're doing to get to heaven, we have to hear him and speak it to us from heaven. So what comes from heaven? All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. The word of God is what we must hear and obey in order to see God's face in peace. With that being said, if you have a desire to come, we'll sing the invitation song at this time. This lesson is yours.